Hi, this is Kim Katola. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. You can hear the show live on Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thank you for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Katola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It has been an incredible week for me personally this last week, and just a joy to be able to share with you my good news that I am a grandmother. And my little granddaughter, Finley, was born this week, and she's just perfect and beautiful, and my heart is enlarged. I just can't put into words how much joy we're experiencing in our family this week with this arrival of this child. And I think about, you know, the work that we do here on this program week in and week out to uphold the cause of life and to help, you know, people to grasp that what is going on and what is at stake is so much more than a choice. And with the arrival of a child, oh my goodness, it's just been a lovely, lovely week for me. I'm a parent to two kids, two grown young adults and two stepkids, young adults who are launched. And they are the joy of my heart and my purpose in life, really, even as they are grown, is remaining, you know, a source of support and wisdom and love for them. I never stopped needing my mom until the day she died, and I miss her so much sometimes, you know. I mean, the circle of life that God provides for us in our families is unbreakable. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I just have a new appreciation for what God does when he brings new life into being. Such a miracle, each and every time. And, you know, when I tell you that my granddaughter is perfect, yes, praise God, she is healthy. But something sweet has happened in my heart that helped me realize this aspect of unconditional love, and maybe you already know this. But it's the love that makes the one we love perfect. It isn't that they have to be perfect before we can love them. It's the love that God grants us in our hearts that makes them perfect in our eyes. And I pray that for you in your family. I pray for grace. You know, that there would not be a single thing that you would allow to present itself as criticism to break up the love and the grace that God will grant you if you ask him for it and allow him to work in your heart. Tonight we are going to be welcoming Catherine Davis. And I met Catherine a number of years ago after I had recently moved to Georgia. And she was at the time serving with Georgia Right to Life and coming off a pretty dramatic initiative that they had undertaken that got all sorts of national press and became quite controversial. And Catherine, I don't know if you want to start with the billboard campaign and kind of work our way to the present from there, but I love that story, and it put the issue of abortion and racism into context for me. I had been living in the North, so, you know, issues of race weren't covered as frequently in the local media for whatever reason in Minnesota. And, you know, there was nothing like this billboard campaign anyway, to have gotten any media coverage. So maybe we ought to start there. Catherine Davis, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. Tell us that story of what happened with the billboards back in 2010.
Sure, but let me first congratulate you on your grandchild. I tell you the truth, I have two grandsons, and if I had known how much fun it was to have grandchildren, I would have had them first. They are the apple of my eyes. I know exactly what you were feeling, and it absolutely is unconditional. Thank you so much for having me on the program. And yes, race is a factor in abortion, and I tell you, back in 2010 when we put those billboards up, people would look at me like I had antenna coming out of my head, like, what are you talking about? Women choose this. Why are you saying that? And what the billboard said was, black children are an endangered species, and had this beautiful little black male child on it. And then at the bottom it said, TooManyAborted.com. And it absolutely did change the conversation. Ryan Bomberger was the graphic genius behind that billboard campaign. And he and I had met about 6-7 months before that first billboard went up. And we were just chatting over lunch, and I said to him, you know, if people could be put on the endangered species list, black children would be. And he looked at me and said, I say that all the time, you know. And about maybe 5-6 months after we had that conversation, Georgia Right to Life was having one of its regional meetings in Macon. At the time, Ryan lived in Alpharetta. I lived in Stone Mountain, but Ryan drove to Macon and brought his laptop and showed me that billboard. And when I saw it, I said, oh, my God, that's a billboard. So I called Dan Becker over, president of Georgia Right to Life, and he saw it. He said, oh, my God, that's a billboard. And that's how we got the billboard campaign. And it absolutely took not only Georgia but the nation by surprise, because suddenly we were talking about race and abortion. Suddenly people were hearing about Margaret Sanger's Negro Project and her racial impetus to control the black birth rate. And Planned Parenthood was scrambling to try to come up with a response to that billboard campaign.
Hmm. Catherine Davis, our guest tonight, is a community activist and human resources professional, and she has a heart for black women and families. Her message is that public health statistics prove that abortion is disproportionately impacting women of color, and most especially black women. She has spoken out about the racist roots of Planned Parenthood and their efforts to target black women. And she's garnered front page coverage in the New York Times and all sorts of other media coverage for her efforts. Perhaps you've seen her on CNN and other national media outlets. She's a member of the National Black Pro-Life Coalition. And Catherine, I think, you know, as you tell the story, Ryan Bomberger is a person of color. You are a person of color. And yet the backlash was from people of color. And I wonder if it was because Georgia Right to Life sponsored the billboards and people didn't understand that the ones who created it, the creative minds, the thinking behind it, was from people of color. I mean, it just, to me, it was baffling that it was a controversial message within the black community.
Well, you have to understand that Planned Parenthood was doing their 21st century iteration of the Negro Project. The Negro Project paid black leaders, black ministers, leaders like W.E.B. Du Bois, to go into the black community and convince black women, using race and what had happened to black women under slavery and how the slave master would rape black women and she had to bear the child of the slave master, and even the indignity of her child looking white and people thinking that she was the mammy rather than the mother. And so this imagery was played upon to say, you know, black women, no longer will you have to be concerned about the master raping you and you having to bear his offspring. You get to decide what to do with your body. You can decide how to evenly space your children. And they paid blacks, sometimes pastors, like this pastor here in Atlanta, who said that Planned Parenthood made him a better pastor, or leaders like Loretta Ross from Sister Song, who agreed with me that race was a factor that had to be looked out for, and yet she was one of the primary ones that they were using to promote this idea that this was a woman's rights issue, especially a black woman's right not to have to bear the child of her rapist. So the using blacks to speak out against what Ryan and I were doing, they had to do that. But again, it was their, you know, most recent iteration of continuing what Margaret Sanger started in 1939.
And so, to be clear, that was eliminating black people by exploiting black leadership to make it look as though it were some kind of a benevolent effort to actually help black women.
Exactly. So even today, when you hear Planned Parenthood and others talking about abortion, they lead off with black women are so poor they can't afford quality reproductive health care, and people like you, Catherine Davis, are trying to deny them access to reproductive health care. And they frame it in terms of this woman's being denied something, and I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to make sure that you have the right to control your body, to evenly space your children, and that you have ready access to it.
All right, so that's what they say. And after a short break, we'll talk about what's wrong with that. Because on the face of it, some people might think, well, you know what, it is an issue if somebody can't afford a child, et cetera, if somebody isn't employed or isn't fully employed, et cetera. We'll break that down for you about why that's problematic and not helpful, not only to the individual black woman, but devastating to the black race in the overall numbers. When you hear them, I think you'll be as surprised as I was when I first learned the facts around what Catherine Davis is talking about tonight. Our guest is a community activist, human resources professional. She's a frequent public speaker. She's a former minority outreach director for Georgia Right to Life. She's a member of the National Black Pro-Life Coalition. And we will continue with our guest tonight, Catherine Davis, after this break. Our phones are open. We're live tonight, 800-811-3003. Love to have you join us here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. To Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll free 800-811-3003.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Our guest is Catherine Davis, talking about abortion and racism, and about the racist roots at an institutional level targeting the black community for abortion. And Catherine is a community activist, a human resources professional, and a speaker, a writer. She's a former minority outreach, I'm sorry, instead of a little break there, a minority outreach leader for the Georgia Right to Life, and she's been involved in this controversy around whether or not there is a disproportionate number of blacks getting abortion. And really, Catherine, if you take it down to the numbers, there shouldn't be any controversy at all. I mean, the statistics don't lie. Numbers don't lie. Help us understand the scope of the problem.
Well, in every state that reports their abortions by race, black women are leading at 2, 3, sometimes 4 times their presence in the population of that state. For example, we're here in Georgia. 57.4% of the abortions in this state are on black women. If you look at New York City, for every 1,000 black babies born alive in New York City, 1,489 are aborted. That's depopulation. If you look at Texas, where all the controversy is going on today, 25% of the abortions in Texas are on black women. But black women or black people as a whole are only about 12% of Texas population. Only about 3 to 4% of that are black women of childbearing age. So when you look at the numbers, they don't lie. And in every single state, not just one or two, but every single state that reports by race, that's what you find, is that black women are leading the way, even in a state like Oregon, right? Oregon has a 2% black population, but 6.6% of the abortions in Oregon were on black women. How can that be? That is statistically improbable, unless there is a concerted effort on the part of those to make that happen. And that's what I believe. I believe what's happening in America today is a black genocide, and it's deliberate, it's intentional, and Planned Parenthood is leading the way to make that happen.
Why is there division in the black community about this issue? Because, I mean, I first became familiar with it. I learned about the Billboard campaign, I guess in 2010, 2011, right as that was happening. But a couple of years before that, a colleague of yours, Denise Walker, Reverend Denise Walker, was a guest on a short feature that I was doing on helping women recover after abortion. And she was the one who first brought this issue to my attention. She was working with the Learn Coalition with Pastor Clenard Childress and others, and Reverend Johnny Hunter, and she gave me the same compelling numbers that you just presented to us, Catherine. And so, I mean, I didn't have trouble accepting it statistically, and also, you know, you're telling me the history, and it makes a lot of sense to me. But it, to me, what is so surprising is that the pushback comes from other African Americans, comes from other, from blacks and from black women. And now you've mentioned that, well, Planned Parenthood has gotten some of these people in their pocket. Do you think that there's anything else in play there?
I think it's a very deliberate, concerted effort by Planned Parenthood. And what they have done is to convince many of the influencers in the black community that this is really a civil right for women, that they are really trying to help black women. They have used all of the language of the civil rights movement to engage these leaders. For example, during Black History Month this year, February 2014, Planned Parenthood honored 98 black movers and shakers. Every single media, whether it was online media or radio or television, BET, Radio 1, The Root, Ebony, Essence, Jet, all of the black media were given some kind of an award by Planned Parenthood in February of this year. So they are very deliberate, but sure, the average black people don't know this information that we're discussing today. In fact, I just learned some stuff this year that I didn't know in 2010 when I was doing the outreach for Georgia Right to Life. But I'm telling you that Planned Parenthood is committing the crime of genocide. Did you know that there is a crime of genocide in America. In 1948, the UN, after Hitler and all of the terrible things Hitler did to the about 17 million people that he killed because he considered them undesirable, they had a convention on the prevention and punishment of the crime of genocide. And in that convention, they defined genocide as any one of these following acts committed with the intent to destroy in whole or part a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group, such as killing members of the group. Well, since 1973, Roe v. Wade, 57,757,000 plus babies have been killed. But of that number, 21,370 are black. And that number does not include the many women that have died at these abortionists' hands, like Tanya Reeves, who was killed by Planned Parenthood in Chicago, right? Causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. What we don't know, what we do know, is that about 60,000 women every year are injured seriously enough in these abortion centers to require hospitalization. 60,000. And if you take that number and correspond it to the number of black women that are going into these abortion centers and coming out maimed, potentially unable to have children because they end up having to have a complete hysterectomy as a result of the butchery that these substandard doctors are doing, et cetera. So we know that they are injuring women. We know that about 28% of the women that have abortions attempt suicide at some point after that process. Deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction. Well, Planned Parenthood has 79% of their surgical facilities within a 2-mile walking radius of a black or Latina neighborhood. 79%. So it can't be that this is not their intent, that they are not specifically pursuing black women and Latina women at this point for destruction, and then imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. Well, all you have to do is just look at their rhetoric every single time they have anything to say about abortion. It's always that black women, oh, these poor black women, they're too poor to get birth control, quality birth control. That's a crock. And the reason that it's a crock is because we have government-funded Title X clinics all over this country, thousands of them all over this country, that do not do abortions, and you can go into those clinics and get all the birth control you want. But let's say that you are this poor woman who can't afford quality birth control. For what it costs you to kill a baby in one of these abortion centers, you could have had probably 5 years worth of birth control because birth control is very inexpensive today, $12, $15, $20 a month. The average abortion costs $450, even the RU486 abortion, where they're not doing anything except giving you a pill, costs $450. And depending on how far along you are in the pregnancy, it could cost you as much as $8,000 to $10,000 to abort that child. And you're telling me that if you have that kind of money to pay for an abortion, you couldn't pay for birth control? So it's all rhetoric, it's all a game, but Planned Parenthood is committing the crime of genocide each and every day in this country, and they are building mega abortuaries now to make sure that they can continue doing it.
Our phones are open at 800-811-3003. What is your response? And beyond however you react, I mean, maybe you feel angry hearing what Catherine Davis is saying. Maybe you're very stirred up about the injustice of this. Maybe it makes you very sad to think about all these lives lost for a political agenda and for racial hatred. I mean, there's no other way to frame it. I would love to hear your reaction at 800-811-3003. And maybe, as you've been listening, God has inspired you with some solutions. Because ultimately, that is what Catherine Davis is dedicating herself to and her colleagues at the National Black Pro-Life Coalition. And we'll talk about that coming up. There's hope. But first, we've got to realize and accept what the problem really is, and that's what we've been discussing so far tonight. So stay with us and join us. 800-811-3003. I'm Kim Cotola. Our guest tonight on Cradle My Heart Radio, Catherine Davis. Coming up more after this.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Now, back live to Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Longtime listeners of this program understand that I was drawn into wanting to speak truth about abortion after learning the truth, literally the hard way, having lost my first child to abortion. And it's only by God's grace that I'm able to speak out about it and that I've been released from the grief and the guilt and the shame of that. And, Catherine, I don't want to speak for you, but I would love for you to share with us how you were drawn into becoming active on this issue as well. Catherine Davis, our guest tonight.
Well, I am post-abortive, too, and I gave the lives of two of my children away, thinking that I was grown, an independent black woman, as some would say. Very selfish, very self-centered. But I had the Scarlett O'Hara complex, so I would always say, yeah, I'll think about that tomorrow. And in 1987, I had moved to Richmond, Virginia, and I went to this church that had Bible study during the week on Tuesdays. Instead of going to eat food, you went to, quote, eat the word. So I go into this Bible study. I'm all happy, yay, rah, rah, Jesus. And the men of God were teaching about abortion that day. And I was paralyzed literally in my guilt. I mean, I didn't know what to do. I needed to be able to go back to work, but I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything except sit there and weep. And these two men of God came and laid hands on me, and they prayed for me until they got the release, not until I got the release. They prayed until they knew they had touched the throne room on my behalf, and Holy Spirit let them know, okay, you can stop praying for her now. She's going to be fine. And when they finished praying, Wellington Boone, who is my pastor, handed me a copy of George Grant's book, Grand Delusions, The Legacy of Planned Parenthood. And he put it in my hand and he said, read this and go do something about it. And that is what launched me into the pro-life movement.
Wow. And, you know, that's such a beautiful story, Catherine. I hadn't heard it before. And in similar ways, my release was also deeply connected to my call. And I think that if anybody is listening tonight who's not yet secured your release, man, woman, young, old, if you have not yet secured your release from whatever happened to you in your abortion or abortions experiences. I want you to know that that is not God's plan for you. God's plan is for your release and for you to be a voice for the voiceless as well. And it may not be on the radio. It may not be for Georgia Right to Life or the National Black Pro-Life Coalition or any other public forum. It may simply be within your family, within a circle, within one conversation when someone comes to you in trouble. But God's plan is for you to have your voice back after this. And I pray that something that you hear tonight will help you along, get a little closer to that journey. Whether it's Catherine being able to speak without shame tonight, whether it's my modeling for you, what it looks like to submit that to the Lord and come out on the other side clean and fresh and ready to serve and ready to help and ready to stand for the truth. That can be your story as well. Please don't wait any longer. 800-811-3003 is our number. And Catherine, so inspiring. And so you took that history and started educating people and started helping people to understand. And I think, you know, what you've said here is true for this issue of black genocide. And I think it's true in the church as a whole, that the church has been convinced that, you know, middle class daughters need abortion for their economic well-being too. It's sold to the middle class too, not just poor women, you know. And I mean, however they can reach that person who is desperate and prey upon the fear, that is what they are willing to do. And unfortunately, I think that, you know, the pastors have bought in across the board. And whether or not, you know, whether or not the denomination is pro-choice, which, I mean, God forbid so many of the mainstream ones are, but, you know, even if a denomination is pro-life, individual pastors, and I know this and you know it too, because they've come to me and I'm sure they've come to you and said, how in the world do I preach this? How do I preach against women's rights? You know, because, and I tell them, well, you've got to stand on truth. You've got to proactively proclaim the truth. It's a losing battle if you try to, you know, meet them on their terms, because their terms are false and deceptive. So I just said a whole mouthful there, but
well, I think we need to dispel the myth that it is poor women who are aborting their children.
That's
because
right.
It is not poor women. It is the upwardly mobile, career-minded woman of childbearing age that is aborting her children, and usually it is multiple abortions, so it hasn't been 57 million different women aborting their children. Many women were like me. You have one abortion, and you realize you made this irrevocable decision. You can't put that child back in you, so you have to prove your womanhood, so you have a second. Some women, unfortunately, in this generation are now using abortion as birth control. So I have literally met women that have had 9, 10, 11 abortions because they are literally using it like it's birth control, particularly those caught in the sex trafficking industry where whoever is trafficking them, when the woman becomes pregnant, they very quickly and easily take them to the nearest abortion center. So, and we're not dealing with a civil right or woman's rights. We are dealing with an insidious practice that was launched to control the black birth rate. And we know this because of different things that people have said over the years, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is a sitting Supreme Court justice, in a 2009 New York Times Magazine interview said that Roe v. Wade was the case that was going to let us get rid of the populations we don't want too many of. So her understanding from day one was that abortion was going to be used to control the birth rate of those they didn't want too many of. And how do we know who they are? Well, we have the Negro Project. We have Planned Parenthood's acknowledgement in their tax filing that they're all about population control. we have their acknowledgement in the paperwork that they filed to build these humongous abortion centers around the country. For example, in Virginia Beach, they had just built a new abortion facility, and they wanted to expand the surgical room, the number of surgical rooms that they had in that facility. So they literally used the black infant mortality rate to justify the building of an additional surgical room onto that facility.
Mm.
That doesn't even make sense.
Well,
but that's what they did in writing.
And I think, you know, it's important for us to connect the dots, because people who just, if you're just listening to the rhetoric, if this is the first time you've heard this program or one like it, if you're very unfamiliar with the truth about abortion rhetoric, very few people know that the New York Times, which is not a pro-life publication, and I don't think has been fair or balanced in their coverage of the issue, but the New York Times reported that, you know, rape and incest account for 1% of abortions annually.
Yeah.
And that's a stable number through the years. And yet it's the pretext for setting our national policy. And so if the forces that are setting national policy are willing to hide behind those tragic cases of women, you know, suffering as victims of rape and incest, and exploit the remaining majority by 99%, it's not hard at all to think that they would be happy to abort lots of other children in order to accomplish their aim, which is, you know, the racial aspect of what's happening. So, Catherine,
what are they saying to us when they use the rape and incest exception? They are saying that because of the method of conception of the child should be punished. And Planned Parenthood and other abortion facilities are notorious for covering up the rape of children and using abortion to justify not reporting when a child is raped. For example, there's a lawsuit in Rocky Mountain, Colorado, I think it is, right now today. The stepdad had been raping his stepdaughter since she was 6 years old, I'm sorry. At 13, she got pregnant. This was like a year and a half, 2 years ago. She got pregnant. He took her to Planned Parenthood to abort the child, and then had them give her Depo-Provera shot so she wouldn't get pregnant going forward. And they sent that child home with her rapist. When her mom found out, she immediately had the stepdad arrested. He got convicted. And when after his conviction, she filed a lawsuit against Planned Parenthood for not reporting that her minor child had been raped by this man. And they knew it, and they didn't report it. And that happens repeatedly around the country.
Sure.
Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a young lady stand up in a meeting that I was in, and she said, "I am my grandfather's daughter and my mother's sister." I'm like, what? I couldn't get my brain around. She was a child of incest, and she was saying, "Let us live. Don't condemn us because of what my biological dad did."
Well, and
who only got 3 years.
I have had feminists admit to me that their work to lower the rape penalties, because they were trying to get more convictions, led to more rapes. You know, so the feminist who cry loudest about how abortion is needed because of rape had the blood on their hands of the women being raped, and they know it. Juries were unwilling to convict because rape used to be a capital crime in almost every state. And, you know, that's why we had these horrible trials of he said, she said, and so they would attack the woman's character for making the accusation. And a man's life was at stake, and so I guess, you know, we have to do everything we can and that we legally can in those cases. But if we talk about actual women being raped, the feminist movement, in their efforts to get more convictions, by lowering those penalties, knew that more women would be raped. And the proof in the pudding, Catherine, is when you ask them what they are doing to increase prosecutions in cases of rape and incest. And because there's a deafening silence that you'll get to the answer to that question, their answer is to destroy the evidence, destroy the children. And that can never be morally defended. Catherine Davis is our guest, and we're talking about solutions to the problem of abortion as a racial weapon and the problem of black genocide. And I would love to hear your thoughts and your reaction and have your voice in the conversation at 800-811-3003. Please join us coming up in our final segment up next.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks so much for listening tonight. We are so glad that you are with us. Catherine Davis is our guest. And Catherine, what is the best way that people can connect with you if they want to find out? You've got so many initiatives you're involved with, and we've got many of them linked at cradlemyheart.org. What's the best way people can connect with you if they want to get involved in the work that you're doing?
The Black Pro-Life Coalition website, blackandprolife.org, is probably the best way right now for them to get me.
Okay, and so how? Tell us the good news. How is the battle going, and where is the victory these days in the many things that you've been engaged in the last couple of years?
I think the victory is happening when states like Texas implement these laws that says abortion centers have to be raised to ambulatory surgical center levels, and doctors must have admitting privileges. I think most people don't realize that the so-called doctors that are doing these abortions, the majority of them are the bottom-of-the-barrel doctors. They don't have medical malpractice insurance. They can't get admitting privileges into area hospitals because the liability would be so great. So it's causing many of these centers to close down. And more states need to do that because I don't know if you heard of or remember Kermit Gosnell, but the
yes.
Nation was shocked when they heard about his deplorable facility that he had women going into. He actually had separate waiting rooms for black and white women in there. He was collecting the body parts of the babies and displaying them on shelves like little trophies. I mean, this man was really sick. And the abortion industry was very quiet during that trial. You didn't hear a whole lot from them because they knew that Kermit Gosnell was not the exception. He was the rule. And they acknowledged, there was an article in the New Yorker magazine back in February where they were talking about one of those substandard abortion doctors. And in that article, they acknowledged that the abortionists that are dotting the country really are substandard providers. And they try to make the argument that it was because pro-lifers were killing the doctors, but we all know that that's absolutely not true. But they admit that there are substandard doctors out there who are hurting women each and every day. And I think as we educate the public, that's where we get the good news. So we use a tool called My Alpha 21. It's a documentary that was done by Life Dynamics out of Denton, Texas. And it documents the racial history of abortion. People can get that DVD at MyAfa, MAAFA21.com. We use that to educate. And as we are getting around the nation and into many of our churches and community programs and sharing the information, people are beginning to realize that abortion is not this benign procedure that pro-abortion forces want us to believe, and that it is actually hurting women, killing babies, and sometimes even killing the women. So that's the good news. The word is getting out. People are hearing it. People are waking up, particularly pastors who are so influential with their congregations and, you know, are repenting themselves. I was in a press conference last year with a couple of bishops, actually, at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., and two of these bishops that were in this meeting speaking out against abortion told the nation that they had engaged in abortion themselves, and they repented to their wives and they repented to their people for doing that. So as the word's getting out, I think people are feeling more emboldened to stand against this practice that really is racially motivated, that really meets the definition, the legal definition of genocide, and it has to be stopped.
Catherine, and also I want to give you the opportunity, just in honor, in memoriam of Tanya Reeves, to tell her story. I still meet people that don't know what happened to Tanya.
You know, Tanya haunts me, as do many of the women that have died in these abortion centers. But there was something particularly callous about what happened to her. She was 5 months pregnant, and she went to, from all the information we can find, Planned Parenthood at 18 South Michigan Avenue in Chicago, Illinois, where they botched the abortion. And after they botched it, she had what they called a boggy uterus, meaning that it wasn't tightening up the way it was supposed to. So they knew there was a problem. But they kept Tanya in that facility for 5 hours. They went back inside her trying to complete the abortion 3 more times. And by the time they finally decided we need to take her to the emergency room, it was too little, too late, and she hemorrhaged to death because they had perforated her uterus. But when they got her to the hospital, before the hospital could even figure out that they had perforated her uterus, they had to first complete the abortion, because they had botched it. And even though they scraped her uterus another 3 times, they still couldn't complete the abortion. And you want to know the thing that really broke my heart? I read the deposition of the doctor that botched the abortion on Tanya, and she had the nerve to say that Tanya was sitting up and laughing and joking with her and telling her she didn't want to go to the hospital. There is no way that could possibly be true.
Mm. Well, it's a striking note to end on, but we have just a minute remaining, and so we have to wrap it up. And Catherine, you're just going to have to come back and visit with us again.
I would love to. Thank you for having me.
There's so much more to say, and we really appreciate you bringing the truth tonight. Catherine's also the author of The Fight for Life, Taking It to the Streets. Catherine Davis, you can learn more about her ministry at our website at cradlemyheart.org. I hope you can join us tomorrow, not tomorrow, but next week, as Jason Jones is our guest, and he is a pro-life filmmaker and is responsible for the Crescendo movie, which you can watch on YouTube, and we're going to have that posted on our website this week, a link to it, and it really will bless you. So check at cradlemyheart.org this week. Visit us on Facebook and like the page so you can get our updates, and stay with us and know that we hold you in our prayers. Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart. For more information about this show, you can visit our Cradle My Heart program page on myfaithradio.com.